Hi there, I'm K-Town, and on this edition of Mysterious Radio. For my listeners that haven't heard about you, can you tell us about your background, Harold, and how you got started researching these subjects?
Yes, of course. I lived a little bit weird life. I started with normal university science, geology, physics, math, and got somehow unsatisfied with a pure scientific approach to things. So I started writing first traveling guides and then some novels, and got into a little bit broader perspective on life, and made my final degree in media business, media science. So I'm kind of one of the few broadband educated people around, just from the roots, from the university studies. And actually, people don't like that nowadays. So I was mainly for a couple of years, or for most of my years, I was rejected by the system. So I had to do little shitty jobs like driving pizza and refurbishing, furniture and selling old books in used bookshops and all that kind of stuff you do to survive and feed a family. And but somehow I stayed kind of true with myself, doing scientific research on the private end. And it took, I don't know, like 15 years until I managed to start making my living on science again as an independent researcher. It started with free energy as a topic. Then I had a period when I got into the research of Wilhelm Reich technologies, and I joined a project in Algeria doing desert greening in the Wilhelm Reich style. And from there, I continued more to the field of medicine and worked for a company in Norway dealing with mainly electrosensitive people, supplying them with measuring equipment and healing detoxing concepts. And while I was in Norway, I got into environmental monitoring. This is kind of the start of the interesting part of the story. Just realizing that the farmers were about to lose big shares of the harvest in 2012 due to unknown reasons. And I was just known as a little bit crazy scientist from Germany. So all the analysis from the farmers they had done in labs ended up on my desk. And this is kind of what gave me the first access to what people call the geoengineering complex. And this was like just diving into the rabbit hole. You start with thinking about shielding sun rays, cooling atmosphere. You realize actually there's no agenda doing this on big scale. Then dive a bit deeper into military technologies, realizing that we do have rocket shields and that we do have basically air force of all major countries and blocks utilizing particulate plasmas to seal their air space against attacking rockets and invading planes, running 3D battlefield monitoring, the advanced form of radar. So this is kind of the military part. And then you dive a bit deeper and realize that parts of the particles also are basically one component of things you might call advanced mind control. So this is the intelligence community trying to get hold of the collective consciousness or individual consciousness, tracking down people, influencing people. And then, you dive a little bit deeper and ask the question, no F words in America. Who told them how to do that?
And then you realize that actually the knowledge comes from an advanced analysis of the black magic tradition. And also part of the applications very much remind you of things, you know, from the mythological realm. And this is kind of how I got into all these topics, just by being down the rabbit hole. And actually, all the things you mentioned, Morgellons, black goo, transhumanism, chemtrails, autism, this is not 10 different topics. Actually, it's single aspects of one and the same agenda that is unfolding in this planet. And this is kind of the core idea. When you listen to this show, you will get the opportunity to connect the dots and realize that actually there's something exciting, sometimes frightening, but something that you do not need to fear actually when you know what it's about, because once you understood the game, it's easy to break it, to we like to call it to break out of the matrix if you just want to. So there are ways out, and this is maybe the most important part I would like to share, maybe towards the end of the show.
Absolutely. I would love to hear that. I want to ask you, well, I don't know if I want to go in that direction. Let's start off by talking about black goo, and then I want to go back to how they're trying to get a hold of the collective consciousness, okay? So for those that have not heard mm-hmm. about black goo, can you explain to us exactly what that is?
Yes. Actually, it's easy. It sounds mysterious, but once you're into the concept, it's quite natural. There's one thing you can discover on every planet that carries life. And that is something we know from Earth. Everybody knows that there are things regarded as ley lines. Ley lines is something that you can feel and measure if you're sensitive. And sometimes if you have like a subduction zone and mountains rising up, these ley lines are cut off. And then the content of the ley lines is pressed out of the stone or pressed through the stone in caves. It drips out of the mountains. And this is the substance we know as mumio or shialit. This is basically the leftovers of Earth-type black goo. If you go into the chemical analysis of what this is, you find basically an organic matrix, all kinds of humic acids and other organic materials, up to something that looks a bit like crude oil. And within this organic matrix, you have embedded clusters of different metals. There are different types of black goo. They're carrying different types of metal clusters. And this material has the ability to carry a very unique type of magnetism. If you have a liquid form, it's self-organizing. It forms liquid crystals. And these precious metals, some of them actually do contain gold and iridium. These precious metals process light in a similar way. It is processed by living beings. In a body of a human or an animal, you have the DNA clusters sending and resending biophotons. And this is exactly what happens in this metal-loaded crude oil, that the metal atoms send and resend single photons. So basically, we have a substance that is similar to what we know as life, but it's much denser. And the funny thing you experience when you get in contact with a substance, and this is actually the point where the story gets weird, is that it does carry consciousness like every life form on the planet does. And if you connect to this consciousness, it's like telepathy. You can talk to it, and it will reveal itself as Mother Earth. It's like the immortal collective consciousness of our biosphere. Very loving entity, strict and loving. that is always in support of the beings living on this planet, that loves all the animals in the biosphere and is a bit worried about what mankind does because we're out of order at the moment. So she's trying to help wherever she can if you get in contact with her. So this is kind of just explaining what black goo is for a biosphere. It is a liquid created inside the planet with the ability to carry consciousness of the same type like the biosphere carries. And as a function, it is a immortal memory and collective consciousness of the entire biosphere. So this is Earth-type black goo, and we can only guess that a planet that carries life brings life to life the same way, like creating black goo in a transmutation process first inside the planet, and then when this substance is released, like it happened on our planet with the black smokers in the oceans, this is where kind of the biological life starts by dividing the collective consciousness into individuals and generations to form the life within the biosphere. So this is what we know about a healthy planet. And the weird thing that happened to our planet is that we do have a secondary type of black goo that actually is not originating from the inner of the planet, but it came down as a swarm of meteorites hitting Earth like 15,000 years ago. And this is closely associated to the fall from paradise, to the biblical stories. You still have Turkish and Greek coins showing the tree of life in the paradise garden, and left and right from the tree you have two forms known to show this meteorite stone carved to pillars. So basically what happened when this event described in the Bible occurred is that I don't know how to call it, extraterrestrial or alien or artificial consciousness arrived, like planetary consciousness, and from the moment of arrival it gave us the possibility to not mirror us in the Earth-type black goo, but mirror our consciousness in this alien type. And mirroring the consciousness means that you derive all your instincts from this collective consciousness. Normally, we know what our place in nature is when we mirror ourselves in the planetary consciousness, so the planet knows what we are here for. We are the gardeners. And the moment you kind of mirror yourself in this alien type of black goo, your entire instinct shifts to something completely else that is, if you characterize it, more reptilian, cold-hearted, non-empathic, psychopathic, cruel. Then your entire behavior changes and you're not. So this is actually, it's the course we are echoing here.
Oh, we are? Okay.
It's the core story of our planet. This is the main story that is determining most of the things we see happening today.
How did members of our government find out about this black goo? How did it start to infect the population?
There's no such thing that like your government that does this and that to your people. We are trained to think in terms. We are trained to think in a way that we identify kind of a country with a person, and then this country can have a government. If you look at the agencies active in the United States, actually, all these agencies are derived and founded by the Tavistock Institute, which is a British institute that actually is responsible for World War I. They invented the term propaganda in 1911 and were founded to kickstart World War I in Europe. And then after the First World War, they came to the United States. and founded everything from CIA to naval intelligence, and all these agencies basically are all coming from Tavistock. And if you look who founded Tavistock, it's half financed by the Queen and half financed by the Rothschild Bank. And both family lines are very deep into black magic traditions. Yeah. And what you're facing now in the United States actually is a non-existing entity that is flanked and taken over from one side by the same banking system, the private banks, and on the other side by the so-called agencies. That if somebody doesn't do what they want them to do in politics, so they just assassinate people. So it's there isn't even a government that has anything to say or to decide. The entire structure from the very beginning is a child of the child of the child of a black magic tradition. And this is network-like, covering the entire planet. And the only countries or the only zones not affected by the system is what you call the axis of evil. Countries like Syria, Libya, North Korea, everything NATO is fighting is the little leftover of the planet that is not completely controlled by this non-democratic, non-national, internationalist entity. So they have been dealing with black goo from the very beginning. Actually, they are originating from the contact with black goo, because black goo is the central element in every black magic tradition. It is the device or the substance that the communication with this dark realm is happening. Yeah, if you look into the very old black magic traditions, you had a pillar of black goo, and once a year people went there to sacrifice children, and then the demons, like holographic projections created by this alien consciousness, came out of the stone and communicated with the humans and told them what to do to the next. And this is where you can see kind of the agenda behind. It's all about misleading humans to create suffering. And then the suffering, the pain, and all the negative emotions are harvested by the stone, because they're using the suffering as energy source. So this is kind of where you can see how the system originally worked. And what you see today is a technological perfection of this initial black magic rituals. Just now, today you call it MKUltra program. It's agency run, and they work and spend millions of dollars to find the perfect way of torture. To destroy basically human souls, to create splits of humans, and to harvest the suffering. You have millions of children disappearing in the United States and being fed into this black magic industry. So, yes, government is somebody involved, but it never was a driving source. It's just a bunch of puppets dancing to the strings of the of the dark cults, and people organize in completely different ways that you don't even have insight to how they're organized.
So you're saying the black goo, or the alien black goo, brought on all suffering and pain to us?
You can distinguish two different types of organizing forces. The original creation is organized by love. There's like a divine source. It's a higher dimensional concept. There's the divine source in the fourth dimension. And people who are open to this divine source receive love and let the love flow through them. And this is what makes them act in the divine order. The order. And if you want to create a secondary order that is not following this divine source, you need a different quality of energy to structure things. And what they started to work with is just pain. And when pain was not enough to control everything, they started to work with torture energy to direct things. So if you do not do what I want you to do, I have the possibility to inject some of the torture energy, the feeling of pain I collected from somebody else into your system to make you move into the direction I want you to move. This is traditional black magic, very traditional. This is what the witches did already a couple of hundred years ago. They even tortured themselves to create splits that had the ability to non-locally interact on the astral plane with the people they just wanted to steal their money from, or to rule them out of the wish to rule people, or whatever these agendas have to.
I find it fascinating that you talk about how they use the energy of torture. So these entities need the horror of someone being in pain to actually manifest themselves and manipulate things, correct?
Yes, it's both used for manipulation and guidance and as a central energy source, because if you're not in the divine order, you're not supplied with energy from the source. So basically, you would die off, you would fall into an abyss, an energetic abyss, just like it's described in the Bible with the fall from paradise. So, so the energy they feed from can only be harvested with the negative emotions. And this is basically pain, and the most efficient one is torture. So it's both. It's like a battery, and the current from the battery is used to force other people to serve this agenda.
What exactly from the body is giving off this type of energy? What is that called?
Yeah, this is it's highly scientific, and normal university science doesn't cover even the field forms you need to understand. What you can imagine is a part of the genetics is there to produce proteins, like producing substances in the cells, and another part of the genetics is producing light impulses, what we sometimes measure and describe as biophotons. And this is for structuring communication, creating the blueprint and the order of the biology. And this, if you imagine like two different cells sending one single photon at the same time into the direction of each other, you have like two single photons that have the ability to annihilate each other. It's like two sound waves that can annihilate each other. A single photon is longitudinal, and longitudinal waves annihilate each other. And the result is one kind of scalar wave. And the sum of these single annihilated photon pairs is, in the correct term, scalar potential. And the shape of this scalar potential looks fractal. This is why kind of the blueprint of life is creating all these beautiful fractal bodies. Beauty is the expression of fractal order. So this is how life is built. And actually, from the biology, how it originally is, you have the divine spark, kind of the beam of light coming from the higher sources. And it's like going through a prism, splitting into all kinds of visible colors. And this is kind of what defines the colors of our chakras, which are the main kind of main vortices of our bioenergetic light body. And every single emotion can be described as a light frequency, as a color. And then this light carries an electromagnetic signature, harmonics, subharmonics. If you feel into it, you know, it's all things that are not measured by science in the sense that you have devices recording these signals. But once you're a human being, you can develop your own abilities of sensing what happens in your life and in your body. And once you kind of develop the ability to sense yourself in a very high resolution
resolving where you can sense others as well. And then you realize that actually every emotion is a pattern of annihilated light that carries certain qualities. And this is actually the energy form that is harvested by these entities. It is light. Everything is light-based happening on this level, but not necessarily visible light. Most of this is in the annihilated form. So we're talking basically about scalar energy, scalar waves, and scalar potential as what we are fighting about.
I see. Is it important for them to continue the torture to get that type of energy, or is death a factor in that as well?
I think the best way to understand the concept is to realize that we adopted it. If you look into your daily life, if you have two people struggling, the one who has the last word takes the energy with him. This is about attention. Attention is directed light. If you have all these ugly games we play with each other, if one person is dominating another person, this is stealing of energy just by ugly habits. Sometimes, you know, the phenomenon, if somebody is completely out of energy, if he's like depressed and lonely, and he goes to a party to enjoy life a little bit, he comes into a room and the room empties within 2 to 3 minutes. Nobody wants to be in the vicinity of this person because he sucks. Language tells the truth. He's sucking light because he's so low in vibration that his body starts to suck up and empty the other ones who are around. So basically, most of the humans are disconnected from the source. Being connected to the source is something we consider as being divine. Most of the people are not in this state. So actually, our entire life, our entire culture, all the things we do from morning till evening is kind of fighting against each other to get hold of the last bit of energy that is around. And many things actually are in direct service to the black magic tradition. If you look at, for example, at the habit of eating meat, keeping farm animal under conditions that can only be described as torture, lifelong torture, with a blood sacrifice at the end, and then you fry it in your pan, so you have a little bit of smoke, or you make a barbecue, so you even have the fire sacrifice at the end. This is all kind of black magic tradition that turned itself into our normal daily life. And this is all about getting hold of the last bit of the energy, not to drown. And this is ugly because we have to admit to ourselves that we just disconnected ourselves from the source, and that we follow with all the little details we live. We follow the black magic traditions, and we are part of their system. They took over our world, and we fell for them. We fell for them into completely stupid things like scarcity, the belief in scarcity. We're living in a completely abundant world, but we live in abundance and we believe in scarcity. We split powers. We give away self-responsibility to politicians who then basically kill us, send us to wars, make us blood sacrifice each other. Why? Because we're not courageous enough to go into self-responsibility, and because we find a position where we can suck light from somebody else. Once you are in a hierarchical structure, you just look a little bit down the ladder and you know whom to suck energy from while you are sucked out from above. This is all dark. This is all black magic tradition that penetrated and took over our understanding of our own culture. And it takes some courage to realize that it's bullshit, to realize that it's unnecessary. This is where the joy comes back in. And then all you need is stop it, change it, and turn back to the source. And I mean, it sounds like a little bit easier than it is because there's so much things we got used to. If maybe it's good to describe the main protection mechanism that is keeping us from escaping from this trap. And it's composed of two components. One is the thing known from the Roman Empire. If you want to rule somebody, you just divide and then rule. You create two opponing assets that stand as enemies in the public view. But on the hidden hand, you control them. And then you give the people the possibility to either basically identify with one of the two or with the other of the two and make them fight each other. This is kind of the first mechanism. And the second mechanism that goes hand in hand with it is that actually everything is turned upside down. You have a like kind of minus function ahead of every number we are calculating. Whatever looks good actually is evil. Whatever actually is evil actually looks good. And this is a systematic thing to enable us to fight an enemy. Because we are, as humans, we always have the will and the wish to do our best. So if you want to make us fight, firsthand, it's impossible unless you make us believe that the other one is evil. And so everything actually is turned upside down in this world. Look at politics. You know, NATO is fighting for peace and democracy. You cannot invent a bigger lie. It's so ridiculous. You know, the Pope or the Church is bringing people closer to God. No, it's the biggest black magic organization on this planet. They make ritual child sacrifice in the cathedral. It's black magic from A to Z. You know, just look at the faces of the popes and you see the demons possessing them. So everything on this planet actually is the precise opposite of what is written on the label. And this, together with this divide and rule, is giving us a very hard time because it's creating basically a gaming horizon where we cannot escape from as long as we look to the into the outer world. Maybe I can share how this feels when you kind of try to escape.
Yes, please go in.
I had some adventurous times in Great Britain. I was invited to Miles Johnson to a conference on these topics. And I was, before I went there, I knew I would meet people who were subject and victims in these MKUltra programs. So I knew that I would meet people with unconscious, dark abilities, and I had to prepare not to be victimized over there. This is kind of like you learn to deal with the black magic attacks when you're in these topics. So when I came there, I kind of had a picture of an enemy I had to be careful with not to get damaged. And while being there, it was like during the conference, two groups were formed, one dark group and one light group. And of course, I was associated with a light group, with the good people. And we were celebrating that we managed to not be attacked by the dark ones. And then these white group invited me to share in to be part of a ceremony, which was a huge thing. Same day when CERN was about to be opened or taken into with the first application of this accelerator. We were supposed to pick up an Ark of a Covenant in London, one of the three known today, and bring it to a central point in Ireland to open it into the ley line system of the Earth. And this was meant to kickstart kind of a friendly and loving revolution on the planet, turning back to paradise. And I was completely excited, you know. You find the dark group and you find the white group, and then you have the ability or the possibility to join the good ones and do something great. And then, you know, you do a little bit of research and you realize, it's a bit spooky here because the Arks of the Covenant have this exactly same measures and sizes and wood type and gold plating like the Box of the Pandora. And if you remember the books, the Box of the Pandora was not containing love and peace for everybody. It was containing this torture energy and all the evils of the world. So how the heck can I go to Ireland to open a Box of the Pandora and release the evil? And while I was doing this, I had miraculous help by people who contacted me, who knew the entire story, who exactly knew I was invited to sharing all these important information, warning me not to go there. So I, again, you know, it's like a fractal structure that develops from inside out. You think you're doing the good thing, then you realize, no, it was bad. And the one you trusted, you go to them, you follow them. And then it turns out the people you trusted actually are playing on the bad side as well. And then another fraction comes warning you from these bad people. Again, you trust them. And it's like, you know, these babushka, these wood puppets from Russia. You open one and you find another one inside. It's a fractal structure. And actually, there's nothing good on any level. It's all illusion. And you can dive through the levels. And I'm 100% sure, you know, just after repeating the structure three times, you know, the ones who warned me not to open the thing turned out to be black at the end as well. You realize there's no end to this. We are kind of lost in a completely holographic illusion. And whenever you open a pot, you realize that the pot within contains evil as well. And the only thing to get out of this is to stop trying to find the truth in the outer world. It's to stop trying to dig in the illusion, to make a story out of it that makes sense, because nothing out there makes sense. The only thing that is possible actually to do is to reconquer your own space, to go into yourself, reconquering the self-awareness of what it means to be a human, reconquering all the emotional expressions of your body, reconquering all the spaces, bringing order into the many, many splits you carry within yourself. And then when you kind of slowly start to recover as a being, if you come to the point where you can basically feel the center of your being again, instead of having kind of five or six different fighting voices within your head and no emotion in your body, which is the state of most of the people I know. So if you kind of clear your inner part, then suddenly there is an access to a different type of truth. Then it's not about kind of the mental field, analyzing the outer world to find intelligent solutions. Then it's just about feeling what is love and feeling what is not love. Seeing what is true and seeing what is not true. You know, you can, if you have this access to your own body, you can speak out any sentence you want. And just by listening to your own voice, you immediately know whether you're speaking the truth or whether it is a lie. This easy it is, you know, when you just stop taking care of the outer world and start taking care of the inner world.
Unbelievable. Your story is incredible. It just dawned on me that the Black Stone of Mecca, I've also heard them say that that is a meteorite from somewhere. Mm-hmm. Is that part of this black goo? Alien, yes. Black goo. Okay.
Yes, I'm afraid it is. I don't like stating this because I know how many million Muslim people put their faith into this stone. and get there and have tremendous spiritual experiences that feels good, but it's not. And it hurts. It hurts me in the center of my being, you know, to go to people and tell them, actually, you've been fooled. What you consider to be light was dark. I don't like this because it's a disappointment. I had so many Muslim people getting angry and crazy with me because of this statement. I hate doing it, but I'm afraid, yes. If it's a meteorite, it's not Earth type. This is what my logic tells me at that point. I haven't been there. I haven't sensed it. But what I know is that the Muslim slaughterhouses in Great Britain, where you have assembly line slaughtering, they're aligned to Mecca. And nothing that is good in its intention wants an assembly line slaughtering being directed into his direction. And it's not only the Muslim, the chicken slaughter lines in Germany that are fully Christian, they are also aligned to Mecca. These architects are also into black magic traditions and know that when they slaughter, they should align to Mecca to feed the system with a tremendous pain released when an animal dies. So yes, Mecca is dark, the Vatican is dark, all religion is dark, because nothing is what it looks like. Everything is exactly the opposite. And you cannot find the truth unless you look into yourself.
You talked about reptilians, and David Icke has, God knows, he has suffered a lot of ridicule when he first started to talk about reptilians. Now, are reptilians actually alien in nature, or are they demonic in nature? That's what I'm having conflicting views about. I've had a guest on my show, and in his research, and he is a pastor, he says that aliens are in fact demonic in nature. Would you agree with that?
I have to state I don't know if I don't know, because I don't know. I have heard a few things that kind of made sense. I read an interview with a reptilian that stated, I'm the first of my kind that managed to get rid of the snakes in my intestines. And now there is hope for my species because we hate what we do. Our true selves hate what we are forced to do. And getting rid of the snakes was the only way kind of to free himself from being not bio-robot human, but bio-robot reptilian that had to follow the command and the rule of something else. And normally this wouldn't make much sense, you know, it's just one of the crazy interviews you find on the internet. But then, you know, you go into researching things like autism, and you realize autistic children have so-called rope worms in their intestines. And genetic analysis of these rope worms is revealing slime mold that carries a secondary genetic cluster. And the secondary genetic cluster is a wild crossover of human DNA and worm DNA and fruit fly DNA and some other DNA that kind of creates an etheric being that is known from the mythologies as the snake that appeared in paradise. And then you think twice about the interview with the reptilian. So one of the options is the reptilians have been loving beings connected to the source once upon a time, and then they kind of conducted some transhumanistic experiments with their own species and were taken over by demons. And a demon is nothing else than bodiless light being created by secondary genetic clusters carried by fungi. This is how you create a demon. It's biotechnology. There's nothing mythological about it. It's alien technology, highly advanced. We found the system in Morgellons and in these slime molds creating the ropeworms and autistic children. And the etheric beings, kind of the patients can see when they have clairvoyant abilities. 100% match the genetics when you do a sequencing. So this can be regarded as scientifically researched and proven what demons are. And the 80% human DNA must be there, because if it wouldn't contain 80% human DNA, the demon would not be able to attach himself to the human body. It needs a kind of high percentage of resemblance in the genetics to be able to link into our biological system. So to your original question, if there are reptilians, and I don't state there are because I have never met one, if there are reptilians and they follow kind of the same agenda like the transhumanists, or behave in the same way, like being a mind-controlled biorobot, then I guess they fell to the same entity that we are subject now to, facing the black magic traditions going into transhumanism on the high-tech end at the moment.
I see. So is autism intentional? I mean, is that something that has been brought on intentionally, because it has skyrocketed and it mm-hmm. will continue to do so?
Yes, it is. If it wouldn't be intentionally, people would heal it, because it's easy to heal it. It needs a little bit of diet, and it needs just stopping vaccines and stopping glyphosate and detoxing mercury, and then every autist can be whole and holy and healed again. So it's not a real problem. It is a created problem, because of these children breed snake demons. And at the moment, the Dark Realm needs lots of snake demons for complete and total assimilation.
Okay.
Possession is kind of first step. If you're just possessed, uh-huh. then there's still a fight going on
okay.
in the being, who is kind of taking control. And assimilation is when you're 100% identified with a demon.
I see.
The moment you identify with a demon, you have full control by the demon, because you cannot distinguish him from yourself. And this is kind of what happens if you look into the Asian tradition of Kundalini practice. Kundalini practice in Tantra yoga, there you have a full identification with a snake. It's the same snake. And they made us believe that it is a part of our biological system, that you have to train during sexual practice, and that you have to honor, and it's part of you. This is full identification. This is where the taking over stops, full assimilation. And somebody who just has an attaching spirit that is taking over control, you have a state where actually you are still in one piece, and you can 100% feel that an alien entity sits in your body and tries to mess around with you. And this you can fight off, because you can still feel the border between you and the entity.
Autistic children, you will notice that they act like they are in their own little world. They don't really talk a lot. I had a guest that said something very shocking. He practiced shamanism. And when he drank ayahuasca, he said that he observed people that were absent of a soul. Is that the case sometimes with people with autism?
I'm afraid yes. Absent of the soul doesn't mean that there's not a soul that belongs to the body, but the soul is not in the body because it's too painful. This is what happens with this mercury. Mercury is stripping the nerves, and then every end of the nerve, the receptor cells basically touch each other and create a tremendous amount of pain inside the body, which is pure fuel for the dark again, on one hand. On the other hand, these children, when this starts at early age, they do not feel comfortable in their bodies anymore. So they train themselves to go out with their consciousness. So they hover above the body. And then they kind of learn to live on the astral plane more than on the biological plane. I read interviews with autistic children that not got cured, but later were able to communicate over a keyboard of a computer. And they were telling their story. And they said that how painful it was, especially as a child, not to be able to play because the instinct was telling them to play. And so instead, they just went into these astral rooms, having fun with each other. So all the autistic children meet in astral rooms and play with each other on the astral level. This is where they are located then. But they don't get access to the body because from the very beginning, it was too painful to be inside. And then, of course, if a body is not inhabited by the spirit that belongs in, actually, then the body is completely open to host demonic entities. And this is actually what the children express. If you look at artwork created by autistic children, they will not paint an elephant or a lion. They always paint snakes. And if you offer them toys to play with, they will not choose the rabbit. They will choose the snake to play with because this is what resembles their inner perception.
Wow, that's incredible. And it's incredibly sad.
It is, yes.
Asperger's is a part of that as well, correct?
Yeah, it's a spectrum. It goes from 0 to 200. And maybe I'm not so qualified to talk about autism, but in a way I am on Asperger because I was an Asperger child.
Oh, really? Okay.
I can recall many of these experiences, like intentionally going out of my body because it was too painful to stay inside. This is what Asperger children do as well. But they do not lose control. An autist child completely goes out, so he cannot even access the part of the brain that is giving the signals controlling the body. So they cannot talk. They cannot control the body motions. And with Asperger children, it's not that way. It's from the inner feeling, it's more like using your body as a puppet player. You can control, you can give yourself orders what to do. But you're not identified with the body. And it makes this is what is giving the intelligence to these peer children. You do not need to learn by recalling and repeating. Because actually your soul is learning outside of your body. If you read a book, you just read the book and then you know what is inside because you read it. And if you're kind of fully incarnated to this memory thing, the remembering details, you need to repeat it 5, 6, 7 times, one single detail, to imprint it into the biochemistry of your brain. This is not necessary if you're outside of your body. So this is part of the concept. This is why these Asperger children are completely easygoing in school on a way, on the side of learning things. On the other hand, the entire social part is a mess because another aspect of being mercury polluted and poisoned is that the signals you receive on the telepathic level, all this body communication done by especially the piezoelectric components of biology, it is 100-fold enhanced and stronger than it should be normally. So as an Asperger child, or I believe also as an autist, you always have access to the emotional life of your entire family, your friends, and the people on the street. You can read out the innerest things of everybody. And if you have this from early age on, you will not even find yourself in between all this. It's just like having all this noise in your body, and you're not able to distinguish between yourself and others, and you're not even able to distinguish between different others, like at the beginning. And it's a lifelong process kind of to to get some order into the mess you sense, to say, okay, now I'm empathic. I can feel this and that. And I also can feel I'm not the source. It took years to come to the point to be able to sense the difference. For the first 20 years, I decided for myself, you know, all this feeling is just, it's sucking me up. So I decided not to feel at all until I realized that I get sick when I don't feel at all. And then I just decided, no, okay, let's restart and let's relearn the feeling. And then you go into this hell of feeling everything at one go and not being able to distinguish. You know, you go just with your family into a restaurant and 10 minutes later you run out puking because the emotional load you get from like five tables equipped with families lying and hating and suffering, it's just too much for a single system. Actually, it was the intentional spiritual work of the last, 3-4 years that brought me to the point that now I can distinguish what I feel and understand what is what. And then in a way it's a gift. So I don't say that everybody who has this autism spectrum is just punished by life. Sometimes it's a heavy, it's a painful way, but once you're through with it, there can be some, I don't want to call it profit because profit sounds like economy. There's some good thing about the abilities you can develop.
If autism can be cured, will these children go back into their bodies? Will their consciousness know that they are able to go back into their body without feeling the pain that they were feeling before?
There are two steps in healing. One is healing the body. This is basically fully researched. You can download the Kerry Rivera protocol, Kerry with an I, RRI, Kerry Rivera protocol. And she has a lot of experience in treating autistic children. She's not a doctor. She just went by success, looked up what was helping, and just let go of the things that did not help. And she has the full protocol of what can be done to recover the body side. And from the experience she and other people collected, 2/3 of the children just return to normal when the body is healed. Apparently, 1/3 of the children found a place that is very comfortable to stay. And then the body is healed, but the spirit doesn't come back. And we, in this autism context, we do not have much experience yet. We developed a remedy that is designed to bring back these children. It's just on the market for a couple of months now, and I don't have much feedback yet. But I've seen it working actually with victims of black magic torture rituals that had splits that didn't want to return on their own. And we applied the remedy on this problem that is actually very similar. And we saw miracles happening. So I'm kind of confident that the remedy will have the ability to bring back the children, even if they don't return on their own. But I cannot state that it works because actually I haven't had any feedback from autistic children that tried it, and I haven't had any feedback from autistic children yet. I just announced it to the direction of the people dealing with the disease, but all the feedback I had till now was more from the spiritual part, from people dealing with the black magic splits and former life experience, where the remedy does a good job. It's called, if I'm allowed to say the name.
Go ahead.
It's called Relusinum. Relusinum, traded by biopure.eu. It's a kind of homeopathic remedy, not remedy. It's globally imprinted with radionic information that is designed to completely close every access to these unnatural realms where the spirits escape to. It's kind of forcing everything back into the divine biological realm.
I see. And I want to ask you this, Harold, before we go on, because I did get this question. Now, you talked about black goo and that our Mother Earth has its own type of black goo. How significant was the BP oil spill to the Black Magic agenda when that occurred on April the 20th, 2010?
Hard to say. I don't know anything for sure. What I can say is that actually there have been protocols available from red line, an international red line, where the big powers were coordinating not to go into war over this incident. That is reporting 8 different nations sending their submarines down there. One of them shooting the torpedo to cause the oil spill, and some of them trying to pick up some of the black goo coming out of that well. Others of them trying to fight them while doing this, and with complete weird alliances between nations that are officially friends that then were enemies, and others officially enemies that at that incident were friends. So there is this protocol. It was published somewhere, and then it disappeared from the internet again. Couldn't find it later again. That is reporting that actually this was very close to World War III, about who was allowed to grab this oil. If you look into the mythology of the Gulf of Mexico, it is considered to be the eye of the planet Earth. It's considered to carry a black goo lens underneath the granite that connects the planet to the source in the middle of the galaxy. So this is basically how our planet is updating itself to its higher consciousness that is galactic. From the mythology, this is not no hardcore science. So if you look at the attempt to drill a hole into this lens, it's like punching Mother Earth's eye. And this does make some sense when you compare it to the extremely irrational effort to extract gas from oil shales.
Fracking?
Yeah, fracking. I was looking for the word. It's very similar to the fracking approach, which is directed against the ley line system. It's like cutting the veins of Mother Earth into pieces. So you see some technocrats on this planet intentionally trying to kill or destroy the physical containment of Mother Earth's soul to damage the planet, to strengthen the alien consciousness. This is what we can see, and I think these people should be stopped at any means. Because this is our planet, and we belong to this planet. We do not belong to this alien consciousness, to this alien... Some people call it an AI. It's not even a planetary consciousness. It's basically just a computer simulation run in this artificial black goo. This is not part of our roots. So we should stop these people by any means. And things I was reported with the oil spill that, what we know from our own experience is what a soul is, what a light body is, the etheric body of a being. And this is basically a holographic projection coming from the black goo. And our planet seems to have not only incarnated projections, so beings that do actively incarnate, we also have the projections of the non-incarnated beings, like all these natural spirits reported by people living on Iceland, where they kind of still have the ability to see this realm of invisible beings, non-incarnated. So what I got reports from is that by pouring these millions tons of chemical onto the black goo to destroy and dissolve it, that basically the natural spirits of the Gulf started to deteriorate and get sick and ill. And there were times when the healers from the Indian tradition in the United States reported that they are afraid that we will see increasing deformations in all beings being born on this planet because the nature spirits lost the ability to maintain the blueprints of life due to this poison attack. So this needs to be stopped. And as far as I had the last information, it's still ongoing because the well was not closed yet. And it's still losing oil and it's still losing black goo. And I just get side notes, for example, from the Russian side that just offered BP technological help to finally close that well. So this kind of tells a story about it. Apparently, it's not closed yet.
Are we getting any help from any entities, any beings from a higher consciousness trying to stop this? Because the problem seems to be, it doesn't seem like it can be stopped. I mean, are we being helped in some way?
There's one sentence I heard many, many times, and this is that experience is more important than matter, than the material world. So actually, we are left alone with these problems because it is important for us to collect experience, how to deal with it. And I hear informations coming from outside that I cannot rely on. But if we do this in a proper way, if we manage to defeat this transhumanistic black goo attack, that then we solved this problem for the entire universe once and forever, because we kind of laid the blueprint of how to defend the biosphere against such an attack. Apparently, all the others failed. All the others that got attacked by this consciousness fell for it and got assimilated. If we were the first ones to withstand and not get defeated by it, then everybody out there is clapping hands. And actually, we were the ones to save all those coming after us. So it's a little bit the opposite. We are in responsibility to do the job. What we do see from time to time is that rocket launches fail, that whenever it kind of goes into hot World War III direction, something goes incredibly wrong, where you see, okay, this was not human, what happened here. And also, if you look at the transhumanistic agenda, we have the company Raytheon involved very deep into this technology. And they, for ages, try to launch satellites that have the equipment on board to measure particulate plasma densities, because they need to maintain a very highly defined density of particulate plasmas to control this realm they want to control. So it's essential to have space run from space technology to monitor these plasmas. And whenever they try to launch a satellite, the rocket explodes seconds or minutes after the launching. And this seems to be some entities around that actually know what's happening and give us a little assistance here and there, not to go into states of history where actually nobody can do anything anymore. Yes, so there is help, but the responsibility is still in our hands, and it's up to us to deal with the situation. So I would never, ever wait for being rescued from outside. This is not what's going to happen. If we don't rescue ourselves, then actually the people who stay in this bad conditions will be taken out by Mother Earth.
I see.
This is what I see coming. Mother Earth, actually, if you look the concept of the astral realm is that actually this is a realm that is not within the timeline. You have a broader area of past and future. Everything is basically available in the astral realm. So in the astral realm, future is already decided. Actually, the main war is about controlling the astral realm. Black magicians know it, so this is why they so much focus on this realm. And if you have access to the astral realm, you will realize that actually the decision has been made over there that the planet is ascending. So the goodies, the good side has won the fight. And nobody exactly knows how this will materialize, but it's going to happen quite soon. So if now I look at humanity, everybody that is following basically the black magic tradition of eating food that has faces, like eating meat, of just pumping mercury into the veins of little children and pouring poisons on the fields. Everybody who is following this basically suicidal tradition will be in a position when Mother Earth is ascending and loading the biosphere with the energies. It will be too late to start with the self-cleansing of the body. People who do not basically kickstart a self-cleansing and self-healing process a little bit before it happens, they will be just overrun by the self-cleansing initiated when Mother Earth is accelerating the energies on this planet. Because then self-healing will start, and then people will just die of Herxheimer reactions. You know, then the body tries to detox on all levels, and basically you die from the toxins the thing mobilized. So this is how it will end for the people who will not be on the right side. And right side doesn't mean to stand in these stupid games between virtual good and virtual evil, like fighting all these fake games. Right side means being in self-love. Everything that is in self-love will survive, because self-love is bringing healing to your own body. And if you're in self-love, you will not be able to eat an animal that was tortured to death, because self-love means sensing yourself, being empathic, and you cannot eat an animal that was tortured to death if you love yourself. It's impossible. Now, this is all about self-responsibility. If you basically heal your own little system, if you heal the relationship between you and the world is automatically going to be. If you do not eat animals, animals will not be tortured to death. If you do not eat food from a supermarket, no single farmer will be able to farm things by pouring poison onto the planet, because we will not find a buyer for the concentrated poison. So everything you solve within your personal relationship to the world will come as a healing to the world. And if you don't, you will have to pay the bill for this. Not because somebody is going to punish you, but because you are going to remain being poisoned from A to Z. And then the body cannot survive. So actually things are incredibly simple to solve. And it lies in the responsibility of every single person to just make a decision. And this is where the beauty comes in again, because once you relearned what it means to make a decision, you will be amazed how much power you have. We forgot this over the last thousands of years of basically being blinded in this black magic traditions. You know, if you pull your awareness into your heart and you just per affirmation decide something, it immediately happens. This is what Jesus tried to teach us. The church erased it from the books. You know, if you unite your mind with your heart, you can move mountains. And I don't even care about mountains, but I care about myself. And then I can basically readjust and heal everything inside myself just by decision. If somebody has got a trauma, my parents scared me to death, and whenever I was about to show a little aggression as a child, they screamed at me. So today I'm a completely blocked person and I cannot feel my own aggression. So what's the problem? Pull your awareness of yourself into the heart region and speak the affirmation, I feel my anger. And the moment you do it, your anger isn't there. And all you need to do is dive into it. And the trauma is healed. The only thing, the only trick where people kind of come across and get irritated is sometimes the blocked emotions are sealed with fear. Fear is not, there is kind of fear as a real emotion, but most of the fear we face is just the feeling of entering an emotion. It's like a doorway. It's just like a barrier you have to cross. And if you lie, let's say you say, I feel my anger, and instead of anger, the thing you feel is fear, then you just go back and laugh and say, okay, I cross this fear. And then it happens. It's so easy. You know, working with yourself in self-responsibility is so easy because it doesn't need any decision of a second person. Do not need to ask for allowance. You do not need to ask for help. All you need to do is just sit down and do it. Go for it. And the rest is your own experience. You are experiencing your being. You're experiencing yourself while you heal. And the moment you went through one healing process, you will become inspiration to your family and to your neighbors. They won't even need explanations. They will look into your eyes. And there it is. You know, this is inspiration. But this works only if there is real experience. And instead, we are just taught to basically look into the fake world with all the fake games. Actually, a world where there is no entrance, there is no way out. And we spend our entire life to look for the way out. We spend our entire life to look for the politician that will make it right. Instead of realizing that politics in itself is an evil game. Because it's not self-responsibility. It is giving away your voice, your vote. It is evil in itself. And then we sit there and wonder why there are just two psychopaths to vote from in elections. You know, it's so easy to look through it. What is democracy if you can choose from a black magician and a mobster? What kind of choice is this, American people? What kind of democracy is this? When you have a black magician that has all the effects of rolling eyes that you only have when you drink the blood of humans, on one hand, and on the other hand, you have a mobster working for the mob, behaving like a mobster, getting his family into White House. Like a mobster would do that haven't seen anything else despite mob during his lifetime. That way you can see that he is with 100% uncontrolled anger, 100% uncontrolled sexuality and greed. How can you make a person like this the president? What do you expect from your future when you accept this as a democratic choice? It's ridiculous. You know, if it wouldn't be sad, I would spend the rest of the night laughing my head off. Because if I would see this in a feature film, you know, I would switch out the channel because it's not realistic. You cannot make up this stuff that is happening at the moment. But people don't manage to just turn around, stop looking at the show, and starting working on themselves. This is what the show is for. You know, you get fascinated by a story that gets more and more and more unreal and unbelievable. And the only solution that is really accessible, just turning away and doing your own thing. Nobody comes even up with the idea. And the beautiful thing is, if only a few start doing it, the principle of inspiration will basically make it. It's like a collective spirit of a race is like a flammable substance. If something ignites, the entire thing burns. You can see this with especially with the story of Jesus Christ. You know, just one little idea that we have a loving God instead of a punishing God. Just a single little idea. And it burns itself through continents to the point where they cannot kill the Christians fast enough to get rid of them because they convert quicker than they can be assassinated. And then what happens? Old black magic trick. Let's kind of define Christianity as state religion in the Roman Empire. Found the black magic Vatican. And then again, things are the opposite of what they look like to restore the old order. So you can see how powerful it is if a single person does something right in the full meaning of doing it right. Not in the meaning of serving a controlled position within the matrix. There's nothing you can do right serving a position in the matrix. There's nothing you can do right on your job. The only thing you can do right is reconquering the perception of the world, because you at the moment everybody's living in this big illusion. And reconquering the perception of the world means reconquering the organs of perception within yourself, which is spiritual cleansing, spiritual growth. And the more you cleanse yourself, the more you will be aware of what is happening outside. I had a funny incident on a seminar I gave a month ago. We discussed YouTubes and comments on YouTubes. And you have all these trolls on the internet who are paid by the companies and the state authorities to mess up the good information. And there was one in the room that just laughed his head off, and he said, I don't care about these ugly comments, because you just look at them and you can see that there is evil intention behind. So you do not need to take this serious. And all the others just looked at him and asked, how can you see this? Whether this is evil intention or not. And the secret was the guy was a martial art teacher. He dealt in his life dealing with darkness. And he managed to completely solve this issue for himself. So he knew what darkness is. And he was through with this topic. So it was easy for him to distinguish between evil lies and an honest word. If you don't deal with yourself, you will not have the ability to tell one from the other. This is how you basically reconquer the world, by working on yourself.
Outstanding. This conversation has been amazing. I do appreciate your time in discussing all these different facets of black magic with us. Harold, I want to give you an opportunity now to tell my listeners where they can find more information about you and your book.
Okay, first, the medical part might be important for people who communicate with doctors, university scientists. I put down all the medical findings on Morgellons and autism in scientific papers, and they are online at aquarius-technologies.de. So this for the medical part. On the same page, you have basically the general findings about geoengineering, where there's layers and layers and layers of the rabbit hole are discovered and explained. So this is my first text on on transhumanism, chemtrailing, all these things. You can also buy it as a book, where this part is half of the book, and the other half is written by Kara St. Lewis, who wrote an excellent essay on the history of transhumanism. She did all that work, finding the roots in the Tavistock Institute and the Black Magic cults of the British House of Kings and the Rothschild dynasty. And this is just a piece of history naming all the different aspects of this agenda. It goes into Frankfurt School, into the agency world, into socialism, into politics. All the different aspects are 100% located where the spirit comes from. Excellent writing. So this is, the book is called Dangerous Imagination, Silent Assimilation. And it contains Kara's work and my work on chemtrailing transhumanism. I think it's published via Kindle on Amazon. If you, basically that's the important part.
Are you going to be giving any speeches or anything anytime soon?
Just type in my name on YouTube from time to time. Most of the recordings end up on YouTube, and if there's something new, it's on the top of the list. I haven't had anything in England for a while. The best English lectures I did with Miles Johnson, and it's as basis interviews, basis conferences. It's online. This is kind of the highest quality in English. There are some radio interviews that are online that happened later. More covering the spiritual side like we did today.
Outstanding. Thank you so much, Harold, for joining me tonight on Mysterious Radio.
Yeah, it was a pleasure talking to you. And I really, really hope, because at least in the Muslim tradition, where you have all the predictions about how we will revive after Latter-day events, they say that the sun will rise in the west, which in the original language doesn't mean that we have a pole shift and that the earth will rotate counterclockwise instead of clockwise, but it means that the renewing of the culture will also come from the United States. And you kind of dived deep into this total mind control by your elites. You have been fooled for 50 years. You have been poisoned to a degree. No other country have been poisoned by agriculture and your medical associations. So you dive down quite deep into darkness, and you will be, or part of you will be, the first one to rise with a lot of experience and transform darkness. This is kind of the backside of the medal. If you dive deep into shit and darkness, you have the possibility to gain a lot of spiritual growth out of it. And this is why these predictions say the sun is going to rise in the west. But still, this is not just a prophecy you can rely on. This is something you need to do now. If you want to rise, you need to rise. You cannot wait for it to happen. This is always an active process. So I whoever says this was the Kickstarter, I'm happy, and I wish you all the best and good luck.
Thank you so much, Harold. I appreciate your time. I would love to have you back on the show.
No problem.
To find out more about our guest and all others, please visit our website at mysteriousradio.com. And I want to give special thanks to our co-creator and executive producer, Kim Kyle, who brought this show to you today. And working hard behind the scenes, our team of four, I want to thank them as well. Follow us on social media and share the show with others that may like the subjects that we cover. I am your host, K-Town, and you're listening to Mysterious Radio.